Father, this morning we come. And we are so thankful that you are a God who cares about us, who has led us to this place. We thank you that you have something special still to come for us in the service. We ask that you would open our hearts, open our minds to receive what you want to give us. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning we are talking about the purpose of power. In our Vacation Bible School throughout the week, we have been looking at little power elements. And our primary text for our Vacation Bible School this year is, let me see, our clicker does not appear to be operating, so thank you. Our theme text is glory to God, who is able to do far beyond all that we could ask or imagine by his power at work within us. I ask myself the question, what is the purpose of power? It's interesting to me today that the heroes of many children are these superheroes. They are powerful creatures that have superpowers that enable them to do heroic feats of strength and courage. When we think about the people we admire, often they are the ones that can do things beyond that which we ourselves could do. Whether it's lifting amazing weights, running long distances, or rising to political or other positions of power. But in the end, what is the purpose of power? Really, what is the purpose of life? Is it possible that we could spend our life pursuing power and come to the end and find out that it was a futile pursuit? I found it interesting as I pondered this to go back to the beginning of time. We go back before the earth was created. We travel back before rebellion occurred in heaven. And now we are back to a universe that is perfect. There is nothing to mar anyone's happiness. There is nothing to interrupt the joy of anyone who is inhabiting any corner of the universe. Thank you. Appreciate that. And so, in a perfect place, what is the purpose of power? I realize that a lot of times when we think about power today, it is the ability to overcome someone or something else. And yet in our journey back into the history of this universe, we've come to a place where there's no one that needs to be overcome. There is nothing that needs to be conquered. And in this arena, what is the purpose of power? I went back to the dictionary definition of power. And it's interesting, it boils down to the ability to do something or act in a particular way. So, in a perfect universe, the purpose of power is the ability to create. It is the ability to design something that will increase the happiness of the citizens of the universe. And so God's great and amazing power was utilized exclusively simply to keep increasing the happiness of the angels and of created beings throughout the universe. But then this other element entered the scene. Lucifer, the lead angel in heaven, seizes on power, and suddenly there is this strange element that takes place. Because now power has become something that creates conflict. Ultimately, we come to Revelation 12, and it says war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail. Neither was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast out to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. What has happened here? Suddenly power, instead of simply being something that is just increasing the happiness of the universe, suddenly power is a struggle between two elements. Power is a struggle between God and one who wants to be God. Power is a struggle between one who wants the best interest of all created beings in his universe and one who wants to be able to control the beings in the universe. It was interesting to me to realize that power distorted becomes a desire to control rather than to bless and lead. And so we have these two powers battling it out, and we find ourselves caught in the middle of a power struggle. God and Satan, each of them intent on victory. God, because he wants his universe to be at peace. And Satan, because he wants to control the universe. There are two paths that we as human beings have the option to take. In Psalm 16:11, it says, "You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." So here's the first path. We can follow God. We can accept his power. And we can live lives that are full of joy and where there are pleasures forevermore. Well, what about the other path that the majority of the citizens of this earth are following? The other path is described simply this way. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Now here's the scary part. The first part of that text. There is a way that what? Seems right to a man. In other words, it may not be obvious that this is the pathway of death. It might seem like it's in your best interest. It might even seem like it's in the best interest of others. But there is a way that seems right, but the end is the way of death. Both paths, by the way, offer power. Both paths give you a sense that you are conquering, that you are overcoming. Both paths appear to have benefits and opportunities. The only difference is that one path leads to life, and the other path leads to death. If we go back to the Garden of Eden, we go back to where the human race decided it was going to go down the path of death. And we find Satan disguised in one of God's created beings in the Garden of Eden, speaking to Eve. And he has decided to convince her to walk down his path instead. If you turn with me to Genesis chapter 3. In verse 1, we hear this question. Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? The woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So here is the fatal suggestion. And the fatal suggestion is that God does not have Eve's best interest at heart. He's planting this seed that is called distrust. Yes, I know God said it, but it's really not in my best interest, is the lie that Satan has been propagating from that moment on. You see, he gave Eve a sense of power. He gave Eve a sense that if she would just eat this fruit, she would go beyond what God had limited her to experience, and that she could reach out and she could move forward and she would have an experience that she would never ever be able to have if she stayed within the boundaries that God wanted to give her. And so Eve, pondering the situation, intrigued with being able to go beyond God's limitations, reaches out, takes the fruit, and eats it. The result is millions and billions of people who have come under the power of the enemy. Today, the same temptation exists as came to Eve back then. And that temptation is distrust of God. Now, how many of us have ever distrusted God? The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The last time you reached out and took something that you wanted, that you knew God didn't want you to have, was an experience in distrusting God. The last time you allowed a thought to remain in your mind that you knew was contrary to what God wanted you to think was an experience in distrusting God. And so we all find that we are on this battlefield. Because once you've sinned, once you've distrusted God, you have felt a power that is an addictive power. It's like, well, if I've taken one step, then I might as well take another one and find out where that will lead. And there is this false sense that we are experiencing something that we want to experience that leads us to keep taking step after step after step in distrust of God. But there is hope on the battlefield. In Revelation chapter 15, verses 2 and 3, John saw this something like a sea of glass mingled with fire, and those who have the victory over the beast, over his image and over his mark and over the number of his name, standing on the sea of glass, having harps of God. This is a snapshot of victory at the end of time. There is a group of people that are actually able to win back the victory. This is a group of people that by the power of God have been able to overcome the deceptions of the enemy. They have been able to get out of this trap of feeling like they are moving forward when they are really moving backward. Once again, our theme text for Vacation Bible School has been glory to God, who is able to do far beyond all that we could ask or imagine by his power at work within us. How is it that we as failed human beings, captured by the enemy, could do all far beyond that which we could ask or think by his power? Come with me to Calvary. And there we see Jesus hanging from that old rugged cross. And we have to ask the question, why is he there? Virtually every other human being that hung upon a cross was there because they were overpowered by the Romans. They had been captured and against their will had been forced to be there. But why is Jesus on the cross? Has he been overcome by the enemy? Has God been taken captive? The answer is a resounding no. You see, Jesus is on the cross because he loves us. Jesus is on the cross because he has come to do battle with the enemy. Jesus is on the cross because he knows that as long as we are under the burden of sin, we can never break free and go beyond the restrictions that Satan has placed upon us. The Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death. The Bible tells us that sin is actually just using God's power to hurt or destroy. If you really think about it, every sin is simply a distortion of something good that God originally designed for us as human beings. Sin takes the perfect laws of God, distorts them, and then destroys us. And once we've come under the power of sin, we all know it's a terrible struggle. And on our own, we can never break free. We can never go beyond what Satan has established as his boundaries. It turns out in the Garden of Eden, when he told Eve that she would experience something beyond what God wanted her to have, it was simply an attempt to lure her into a trap that would limit her to what he wanted her to experience. And that is what is happening to us today. Satan lures us in. He says, hey, you'll feel much better if you do this. You'll have a better experience if you go and experience that. But he's actually simply luring us into his world, where he can control and limit our experience. Satan was determined to hold us captive. But then Jesus came. He lived a perfect life. And then on that cross, he took those sins. He chose to remain there as the weight of all of that sin that we have ever done accumulated and began to press down on his shoulders. On that cross, he took that burden of sin But praise God, he was not defeated by the sin that was placed on his shoulders. He bore the weight. And yet, when he gave that final cry, "It is finished," it meant that he had been victorious over the power of sin. And as he rose from the grave, he demonstrated that he had power to break the chains of sin and to be set free from it. What does that mean for you and I? It means we are not helpless captives to sin. That's what Satan, by the way, wants you to think. He wants you to think that if you have been captured by sin, that it's impossible for you to break free. He puts out this idea, well, you know, you can never conquer this, so you might as well just live your life, go on sinning, and someday, maybe somewhere in the future, you'll have victory. My Bible says, "My God will supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." As I look at Jesus on the cross and I see him win the victory, I am inspired by the truth that because he has won the victory, that we too are able to win the victory. And I read my Bible in 1 Corinthians 15:57. It says, "Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Looking to Jesus, he offers us his perfect life in place of our brokenness. He offers us victory in place of our defeat. He offers us the privilege of walking the path of life today instead of the path of death. When we go to Pentecost after Jesus' resurrection, Jesus said, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria and the end of the earth." That power is not some future thing that God wants us to put off until Jesus comes. That power is something he wants us to experience today and to share today. So what is the purpose of power? The purpose of God's power is that we are enabled to rise above this world. The purpose of power is to receive the Holy Spirit and go beyond anything that we could have ever imagined before the Holy Spirit came in and transformed our life. And so back to Ephesians 3:20, glory to God, who is able to do far beyond all that we could ask or imagine by his power at work within us. And this is the amazing truth. As Christians, we begin the journey with God's power. The Christian life is not an attempt to earn power. A lot of people live that way. A lot of people think, well, you know, I'm struggling along in this Christian journey, and someday I will come to the point where I will have developed enough to be able to claim the power that God wants to give me. The truth is, we begin the journey by the power of God. And then we live out that journey. We go beyond the limitations that Satan would have placed upon us because we are accepting the power of God. And so in our vacation Bible school this past week, there were five elements that we were talking about going beyond. We start with Daniel. And what was his power element? Faith. I've got a few vacation Bible schoolers that are still awake. All right. Daniel. He had faith in God. That they said, "You cannot pray to anyone but the king." And Daniel said, "No. My connection with God is too important. It's too crucial in my ongoing experience. I will pray regardless. And then we had Esther. And what was her power element? Boldness. The ability to say, if God wants me to risk my life, to save my people, I will move forward, trusting in God. Then we had the Good Samaritan. What was his element? We're a little uncertain on that one. Kindness. There is a power in kindness that we seldom experience. As we watch this Good Samaritan come along, and he goes beyond what the religious leaders were willing to do, and he stops and helps a stranger. The next one, the leper who was cleansed by Jesus. What's the element? Thankfulness. There is power in thankfulness. There were 9 lepers that went running off and never had the thrill of being able to come and actually spend time in the presence of Jesus and just soak in that love and that joy. Our final night, we had the disciples on the road to Emmaus. And what was that element? Hope. There are times when things don't go the way that we want them to. There are times when things just don't turn out the way we had expected. But even when we cannot see the end of the path, if we maintain our connection with Jesus, we can have hope as we trust in Him to lead our lives. And so it is my hope that all of us today, you know, these elements aren't just some entertaining thing for kids from vacation Bible school. These are real. These are things that God has given us to enable us to break free from the devil's traps, to enable us to go beyond what Satan has tried to limit us to in our experience on this earth. Are you finding yourself daily going beyond what you thought you could do? In that growth in Jesus, in that relationship with Jesus, even in your relationship with other people. It is my hope that today we will accept His power anew in our lives, that we will claim His promises and expect Him to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to His power that works through us. Today, if you sense a special need, we have individuals that are prepared to pray for you up here in the front, and we would invite you just to come and allow us the privilege of ministering to you in that way. Today, as we go out from here, we go out in the power of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your power. We thank you that you are able to help us to go beyond what we ever thought possible because of your great love for us, because of your great interest in our lives. We ask that you will enable us to move forward, to go beyond with you. And we thank you for this privilege in Jesus' name. Amen.